Going to be looking at various passages, specific verses in the book of John. Won't be spending a lot of time on any one of them, but John chapter 6, verse 35 will be the first one. And if it sounded like I was being disrespectful to the highly respected individual from Shoals earlier, I was not in any way being disrespectful. I believe that Steve Deckard is a highly respected man, and we're blessed to have him call Wiseball his church. And I don't know that I'm his pastor yet. I think Rodney McBride still is pastor, but that's okay. I'll give that to him. Rodney McBride touched Steve's heart and life years ago. And don't ever intend to replace that. Would you bow your head with me as we ask God for his special anointing, special touch this morning? Father, we're thankful for the blessings you've given us today, for the beautiful day you've given us, the opportunity that we have of gathering, even this celebration of Christmas, celebration of Advent. Thank you for the hope that you provide. Thank you for the peace that you give. Pray that you would give us that anointing that we need today. Shut us in for a while. Hover over us, I pray. Speak through your unworthy servant these words of truth this morning. May they reach the depths of our hearts and lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the King James Version of the Bible, you'll see the phrase, "I am," listed over 800 times. I am. I think the first time that you'll find that, that word, or those words, is in Genesis chapter number 15, where God is speaking to Abraham. Genesis 15:1, "And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield." It's followed by the three-letter word that means that they're bringing two things together, and. So we could eliminate that word, and just bring around those two-word phrase into the second part of that verse, or the second part of that statement. I am thy shield. I am thy exceeding great reward. I am. Now we come over here to the book of John, and you'll find, I'm told, I have not read the book of John in the Greek text, but I am told that in the Greek text of the book of John, you'll find the Lord's meaningful I am recorded 23 times. 23 times in the book of John. There's at least seven of those that Jesus joins his great I am statement with some tremendous metaphors. These seven I ams connected to tremendous metaphors are expressive of his saving relationship toward the world. That's what I want to look at this morning, though I'm not going to try to cover all seven of them. I'd like to cover some of them. The first one is found, as I mentioned, in John chapter 6 and verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This was Jesus' famous discourse on being the bread of life. That there was sustenance in him, that he provides life. He said, I am. I am. The analogy of Jesus as the bread of life reinforces John's theme of Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of God even. John chapter 20 and verse 30, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Verse 31, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. The Messiah, the Son of God. I am the bread of life. Now John records Jesus' miracles to establish his deity, for us to read about him and to learn of his deity. But he moves quickly to the discourse that Jesus provided us on the spiritual realities of his person in order to define quickly correctly who Jesus really was. He's not just, as much as I long for it, he's not just a wonder worker, but he's the Son of God who came to save mankind from sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I am the bread of life. Let's move quickly on to number 2, going on down to the 8th chapter. In verse number 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, John has already used light as the metaphor of Jesus. John chapter 1 verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John was already using that metaphor. And Jesus then, in chapter number 8 and verse number 12, says, I am the light of life. Now, Jesus' metaphor here is steeped in the Old Testament allusions or pictures. There's a number of them we could look at, and I'm not going to take the time to look at all of them by any means, but Psalm 119, 105, one that's very familiar to us. The psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jonathan, just turn this off. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So we find even through the Old Testament that there was the picture, painting, the illusion that they were trying to get across, that the word, the light of God was to shine. And Jesus came and said, I am the light of the world. That phrase highlights Jesus' role as Messiah as well as the Son of God. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We find in the Old Testament as well that as the coming age of the Messiah, the anticipation of the coming Messiah would be a time when the Lord would be a light for his people. Would be a light. A light shined in darkness. Maybe we only think of darkness really as the 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, but it was dark in the Old Testament as well. There were some very dark periods, at least, in the Old Testament. But that intertestament period was extremely, expressly dark. There was no word from God. There was no light from heaven. And so it became even more pronounced when Jesus came and he stated, "I am the light of the world." Now, we also have to notice not only in that verse that Jesus was expressing the great I am idea, the reality of that he was the great I am in connection to the light of the world, but then we have to see another word in that verse. That word is follow. That word, follow, conveys the idea of someone who gives himself completely to the person followed. No half-hearted followers exist in the mind of Christ. Isn't that right? No half-hearted followers exist in the mind of Christ. You're either in, you're out. You're either following him or you're not following him. You're either born again or you're not born again. I know in 2024 we live in a Christian culture that it goes way beyond that. Anybody can express for themselves that they're a Christian and they're following, but The Bible's pretty clear on who a follower is. Excuse me. And when we see this, when we read this passage here in John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." It's a veiled reference going all the way back to Exodus chapter 13, where the Jews, the Hebrew children, were following the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire that led them through the wilderness out of Egypt. Get a hold of that. All the way back into that dark time and frame, the light was shining. And here we find that veiled reference followed right here into this, that we who follow him won't be living in that darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. Number three, John chapter 10 and verse 7. "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you," pay attention here, "verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep." The metaphor changes slightly here, doesn't it? Now, if we go back into the earlier verses of that particular chapter, Jesus says that he is the shepherd. But here he's the door, the gate. In the first five verses of the chapter, the shepherd led the sheep out of the pen. But here he's the entrance to the pen that leads to the proper pasture. He's the door of the sheep. It's kind of echoed in chapter 14 and verse 6, where Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is an important thing for us to grasp. Because he's the only way to the Father. His point is that he serves as the sole means, the only way to approach the Father and to partake of God's promised salvation. He's the only provider of salvation. He is the door of the sheep. Now in the New Testament culture, the Old Testament culture, the Eastern shepherds slept in the gateway to guard the sheep. Jesus isn't sleeping in the gateway. He is the gate. But he uses that metaphor to picture so that they can see him in that position. He is the gate. Let's look at number 4 quickly. Chapter 10 and verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I am. Now Jesus picked up from another expression and out of the first five verses of chapter 10, he is the good shepherd. And when he emphasizes those two words of being the good shepherd, it is in contrast to the present evil leadership of Israel. If you want to read about that, look at chapter number 9 and verse 40 and 41. It'll give you a little bit of what that contrast is. The term good has the idea of noble. And that word good or noble stands in contrast to the hireling who cares only for his self-interest. And then the second second half of that verse is a reference to Christ's substitutionary death for the sinners as he hung on the cross. The shepherd, the good shepherd, gives his life for the sheep. In John chapter 10, verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. What are we talking about this morning? We're talking about the great I am. The great I am who says that he said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. Now I want us to keep that in the forefront of our minds, the great I am. The great I am. But I want to shift gears here before we go home. Second Chronicles chapter 20. Here's a story of the Israelites. They were in a quandary. They were at a loss. I don't know if we need to spend time looking at the whole context here or not. The Israelites were being pressed. They were being chased out of their own lands by people that they had protected in previous times. We could just simply say that the context here of 2 Chronicles chapter 20 was a very dark period. Now, we probably all know that passage in the book of 2 Chronicles that says, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then they will hear from heaven and I will heal their lands. That's a very popular verse, and it's something for us to stand on even today. It's relevant for us today. And it comes in a time when darkness was pressing in. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse number 12. It's recorded here in this verse. Oh, keep in mind the great I am. Oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? Or maybe you can change the word them to it. Whatever your context is. Wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Now this is what I want you to take home with you. This is what I want you to think about. Neither know we what to do. The Israelites were in a quandary, I said. It was a dark time. It was a difficult situation. And they said, God, we do not know what to do, but our eyes. It sounds almost discouraging. It sounds almost like they were giving up in the midst of the conflict. They were giving up in the midst of the battle. It seemed as though there was no hope. We don't know what to do. But, they said, our eyes are upon you. Our eyes are upon you. And the very next verse, that was coming from the leader. He was leading them and he said, I don't know, we don't know what to do, Lord. But we're looking to you. And the very next verse, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. What does that mean? It means that even in the midst of the darkness, it means that when we can't see the way forward, the great I am, the four that I've mentioned, the three that, Lord willing, we'll look at next Sunday. The great I am is still ever present, even in the darkest of hours when we don't know where to go and what to do or how to proceed. We can look, our eyes can be fastened and fixed on Him. Keep it in your mind, the great I am. He is the great I am. The bread of life, the light of the world, the door of the sheep, the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you, the great I am. Let's stand together. May the great I am go with us, go with you, step by step. He gives victory to those who look to him. Fasten your eyes on Jesus, and he gives victory. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Byron, would you dismiss us in prayer?